Hey photographers, I wanted to let you know that the Massive Photography Business Bundle sale is now live, which means I'm allowed to talk about it. It's valued at more than $1,900, and you get it for $87, which is just crazy. So, more than 23 successful professional photographers have contributed to the bundle, and I'm going to name some of the things that you can get with it. So you have, for example, Chris Scott contributed Salesographer In-Person Sales Bundle. And so it teaches you how to make more sales for your business. There's also the Photography Business Masterclass, and that's valued already at $90 by itself. But again, you get the whole bundle for only $87. We have Email Marketing for Professional Photographers, Portrait Photography for Profit, How to Attract Clients. So these are online courses. These are ebooks. These are videos that will help you with your business. Autofocus Marketing Calendar. So we have a calendar in here as well. The Complete Wedding Toolkit, which is $199 by itself. But again, you get a ton of stuff in here, and you get it all for $87. That's a 95%. Once-in-a-lifetime discount. This sale is only live for 5 days, so it closes March 1st, and this is why I consider it the year's biggest photography business event. I'm getting my bundle. I'm pretty excited because anything dealing with business and photography pretty much floats my boat. You can check it out at ProPhotographerJourney.com. I have more details there. Again, that's ProPhotographerJourney.com. Or ppandj.com for short. So head on over there. I'll have more details for you, and you can learn more about this bundle. Again, 10% does go to charity, which is awesome. So the sale is live, and hopefully if it's a good fit for you, then the $87 will be worth it. And actually today on the show, I interview Corbin Hebert, who helps run that event. And he also has a ton of knowledge about business and photography, so it's going to be a good one. All right, let's get to the good stuff. This is Shamira Young, bringing you the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast. Listen in as award-winning photographers discuss how they find opportunities, market their talent, and overcome mistakes to become respected, ever-advancing professional creatives. You'll also hear about their hard-learned lessons, as well as tips for making awesome images. You ready to take your photography business to the next level? Let's do it. Hey everybody, I'm here with Corwin Hebert. Corwin is a business manager to photographers, freelancers, digital artists, and entrepreneurs. He's known for managing world-renowned talent. Corwin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
And you know, I'm totally pumped to have this conversation because your knowledge of the business side of photography is absolutely just astounding and huge. I was really impressed by you and your bio, actually.
I wrote it myself. Thank you very much. I love talking about me.
Well, perfect, because the first question I'm going to ask you is about you. So for the benefit of our listeners then, tell us about yourself, give us your background, and how you ended up where you are today.
How I ended up, I'll start there, by fluke. I accidentally started a consulting and management firm, and here we are 10 years later. So, no, the short story on me is that I'm a creative person, but I'm not an artist. Mm-hmm. I love the business side of creative work. I have many creative passions and interests, but I'm not particularly good at any one craft. But I love creative work, and most importantly, I really care about creative people. I like seeing creative people thrive. I feel like creative work is what makes the world around us sing. It's what solves problems. It's what brings us joy and what addresses issues or needs in our life and in our world. And when I see creative people offer their talent as a service, I kind of feel like it's one of those things in the marketplace that not a lot of people understand or that do well or that can engage with or even talk about creative work for hire in a very intelligent way. So it started about 10 years ago when a friend of mine, David Duschman, was kind of really ramping up his professional photography career, and he went on an assignment, and he asked me as his friend, he said, could you keep an eye on my email inbox while I'm away because I'm going to be unplugged for a while. Maybe you could just, you know, do a friendly response to, you know, anyone who's emailing. Well, he came back from his trip and I said, you know, I'm better at this than you are. I'm not giving you your inbox back. You're going to have to come up with some other, we'll give you another alias. I'll take care of your inbox. And it grew from there. And as his photography career grew, so did my role in his business. And I started to help other photographers and other creative talent. And from there, I grew a small company called Tandem Agency Incorporated. And we're a small team of five people that work to help creative people make money doing what they love. And for those that are in great demand, it means that their operation can simplify and focus on just the creative. And then we take care of all the other stuff, all the business administration, all the management, all the marketing, and all that stuff. So it's a really, really fun kind of life that we've made for ourselves. And I own the business with my wife, Eileen Roth. And it's a really fun venture that we're involved in.
And I'm just curious, have you always been interested in this area as far as creative work?
Yeah, I have. Prior to starting Tandem, I was involved as a consultant to Microsoft, and one of my roles was to produce events for Microsoft partners and people like that, and developers and things. And I wasn't particularly passionate about the technology and the software and all that kind of stuff, but as an event producer and as a marketer, I got a chance to roll up my sleeves and get involved with some really, you know, fun events. Well, it turned out in that experience, as well as whenever you're involved in events, sort of, you know, whether it's a technology event or a yoga fundraising event, I just found myself involved with all these different kinds of events. And it wasn't the event client, or it wasn't the end, you know, the economic buyer of the event that I was so excited about. It was all the creative people I got to hire to put on these events, to perform or to create collateral or to do all the fun stuff when it came to the event. And so I kind of transitioned from that into what I'm doing now, because I'm like, I can help creative people. I can actually, there's this one situation where I was trying to hire a designer and a photographer for an event project, and they were so bad. They were very talented, but they were so bad at like giving me proposals and estimates and whatever. I'm like, you guys are brutal. Like, you're talented, but I think I'm gonna fire you. So it's just one of those things where I kind of learned as a buyer of these services of creative work. I'm like, there's seriously a need there. And so when I kind of got going, I right out of the gate said, well, I'm not going to be an agent or a rep, which means I'm not going to solicit on behalf of my clients. I'm not going to work on commission. I'm going to do professional services, you know, paid. Like, if my clients make $1 million, then I'm not taking a cut of that. It's just based on our work, on our labor, mm-hmm. and our expertise. And so we kind of grew it from there.
And so I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine you're working then with a small group of select, not just photographers, but other artists and creatives in general?
Yeah, I'm trying to make the group even smaller. I'm not saying I'm firing people right now, but it's just I'm very picky about which talent we represent, because it's all encompassing. It's sort of, you know, their brand becomes our brand and vice versa. And mm-hmm. so we're very cautious. And yeah, though photography as an industry is our primary industry, okay. we serve photographers more than any other. And photography, the work of photography fills my life full time. But when it comes to our company, we do represent and work with people outside of photography. For example, ceramic arts or design or illustration or authoring or creative consult, like not consultants, right? Creative industry executives, like ad agency people and stuff like that. So we're involved in a whole bunch of different facets of creative work, but photography and photographers specifically are sort of our sweet spot.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, then my next question for you, I'm pretty interested to hear what you're going to say. And I usually ask this question during the interview. And given your experience and your knowledge of just being exposed to different photographs, tell us, in your opinion, what makes a good photo stand out from just an average photo?
Oh, man, pressure is on. Well, I look at a lot of photographs, and though I'm careful to stay away from too much technical stuff, because that isn't my expertise, I can tell you that there's something that can be quickly assigned when to looking at a photograph, to reading a photograph and saying that there's something really intentional about a photograph. Mm-hmm. And that's often, whether it's in the composition or it's in the sort of the mood or the palette or the subject matter, obviously, that goes into it, that that really, you know, captures the viewer's attention. And for me, the photographs that get my sort of strike me as just a photograph that is important to me, that I connect with as a viewer, it's about the natural world. When I see, and there can be a human subject in it, the natural world can be, you know, even blurred out in the background. But if I get the sense that it's something about, that there's something about outside, about nature, about our earth, those are the images that really capture my imagination. So I live in Vancouver, Canada, and we have, you know, rainforest surroundings and lots of great mountains and everything like that, and glaciers, and it's beautiful scenery. I'm captivated by the scene of, you know, of green plants and tall, strong trees, and, you know, rugged rocks in the ocean. And so those are kind of the images that really strike me.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a really good answer, by the way. And I like asking this question, not just of photographers, but of people who are trained in the business side of photography, because I think with your understanding of business, you would understand more, how do I word this? You would have a better understanding of how a photo would go over as far as being marketed in a professional way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, a photograph is, though I don't think it's worth 1,000 words, I think photographers tend to think that. In reality, it isn't, at least from a marketing standpoint. But a great photograph is a great first impression, and it communicates through one photograph. You can communicate, you know, the quality of your work, your creative intent or vision. It speaks to your brand. It's the beginning. You know, one photograph doesn't do everything, but it can sure speak to your brand. And as a viewer digs further and deeper inquiry is sort of on the horizon, then, you know, as one photograph leads to the next, a viewer, hopefully a prospect or a buyer, starts to get a sense of, well, how can I, you know, can I trust this person? And inevitably, if a great portfolio is what's presented, that's what comes to the forefront. Not, I need to hire this person. It's, I trust this person as an artist, as a service provider. I want to learn more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well said. I feel like that was an info bomb right there.
Hashtag.
Excellent. Well, next, let's talk about photography as a business, which I really like this as the meat and potatoes in our episodes, because, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but many photographers and creatives in general really struggle with running their business. I remember when I first started as a hobbyist and I decided to cross over, it was a challenge because in my mind, I thought I would be taking photos all day. Not so. There were so many other things that went into trying to run my own business as far as marketing and getting the word out there and how to attract clients, finding clients. So I want to start at the beginning. Let's touch on business plan best practices for photographers. For those who are listening who have not, let's say they haven't given their business plan any thought, what would be step number one? How do they get started on a practical business plan to organize their business?
Yeah, business planning is one of those things where if a photographer is able to put even a little bit of energy into a little bit of forward thinking, it can sure go a long way. Mm-hmm. I'll start off by saying that a photography business plan should be fun. If someone is not enjoying the planning process in whatever shape or form it comes, If they don't enjoy digging into some of the details that hopefully will help them down the road, then I would say they might not be best suited for entrepreneurship. Hmm. So I hope they have fun. I hope a photographer enjoys the experience. And if they loathe it and hate it, then freelance or independent photography work might not be a good fit. The outside of that, it kind of comes down to a business plan should be a work in progress. A business plan should never be done. You should never try to accomplish a business plan. It should just be always growing and changing with you. An artist always grows and changes. There, as a human, the sole business owner, your life is always growing, changing, shaping. Relationships come and go. You move cities. You know, things happen in your life. And so a business plan should be dynamic in that way as well. Mm-hmm. Then I think a good business plan actually should start off with really good questions. when I talk with photographers about what they're trying to do with their creative work and how they're trying to make money, I often hear you know that phrase where someone says, you know, there's no stupid question? Mm-hmm. Well, there certainly is. There certainly are stupid questions in business of photography. For example, I get asked all the time, you know, Corbin, how do I find more clients? Well, that's kind of a stupid question. That's probably, I know, I'll concede. It's a semantic, I'm sure. But finding more clients is not a very intelligent way to approach business development. Because, for example, let's just pick the word more. Well, most business owners would say that more clients are not necessarily ideal. More clients can just be more pain in the asses, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you want better clients. You want to have an ideal client, and then you want to replicate that ideal client in such a way that your business grows in a healthy, authentic way. So when someone says they want to, you know, they want more clients, what I hope they will say is, how can I make my photography business more attractive to my ideal buyer? Hmm. That's one way to sort of phrase that. Of course, again, I'm playing the semantics game, but you know, I'm allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. So outside of asking better questions, then it kind of comes down to four key elements. And that is, no matter what plan you're building, it doesn't have to be sophisticated. It doesn't have to have a fancy cover page. It doesn't have to have a table of contents or an executive summary. It doesn't have to have cool graphs or charts. It just has to be something documented in one place, written, like, not in scrappy notes and Moleskine scribbles and stickies on your fridge and lipstick on the mirror and written on a piece of recycling from the trash and some files on your computer or Dropbox or whatever. It's got to be in one place. Mm-hmm. It's written down, and it helps to remove chaos. So whether it's chaos for you as the talent and as the business owner, chaos for the buyer so that they're not experiencing any level of frustration around the engagement. A lot of buyers are totally freaked out or have poor, low expectations of working with a creative person because they feel like they're buying a wild card, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever you can do to remove chaos from your work, from your workflow, and from how people engage with you, that's a great step forward. You want to remove mystery so that people and, well, so the buyers and yourself, you don't feel like you're confused or unclear about what's coming up next. Pricing is a great example of that. You know, like if you're confused by your pricing, your buyers are going to be confused. So remove mystery. Lucy Spartalis is a wedding photographer in Australia, and she lists on her website, here's my pricing, here's what you get. And she posts that on because she's like, I don't want to have a conversation with someone if they're not clear on what I charge. Mm-hmm. She goes, I want to save the conversation for creative and for availability and for a fit, you know, that personality that a wedding photographer would need, that connection with a bride. So remove chaos, remove mystery. And then ultimately what you're aiming for is to, no matter where you're at in the photography business planning process, you should be gaining momentum. That's just about what's happening now, what's happening next, what's happening tomorrow, what's happening next week, what's happening next month. Just always feel like you've got a little bit of momentum, because as soon as you get stuck, that static creative is a frustrated creative. That photographer that's paralyzed by the next decision that they have to make, they will go nowhere, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they will start to resent the decision to try to make money with their talent. So momentum, it's just about doing the things that create momentum. And then clarity, obviously, kind of speaks to that, you know, the earlier thing around mystery. Like, you know, taking some of the mystery out is great. Ultimately, you should come down to, how clear do you feel about what you offer, about why you're good at what you do, and what the needs are out in the marketplace? So I just realized you haven't talked now for 5 minutes, so careful. I think you need to pick this up here. The Corbin Hebert zip folder.
Actually, I'm over here actually writing. I've got like a half page of notes, and I'm typing at the same time. I actually have a question for you though. Because I got 5 points somehow instead of four. So could you recite the four main elements as far as, you know, what a business plan should be? Could you recite those back?
It was the wild card. I don't know. remove the chaos, mm-hmm. remove the mystery.
Okay.
And then always be looking to gain momentum and clarity.
Excellent. You know what? I think the fifth one I had was having it written down, which I guess that's just a given with a business plan.
Sidebar.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a good point, because I've talked to many photographers who struggle to gain momentum that really resonated with me. And complete transparency, I just moved to a new town. And so I feel myself having to go back through the steps of identifying my ideal client and finding out where they are and trying to attract them to my business. So for the frustrated photographer out there, how do they, for the one who feels stuck especially, how do they initiate that process of gaining momentum for their business?
That's a great question. A lot of independent business owners or people that are trying to start something, you know, for themselves, a freelance career or a small business, they tend to be isolated. They tend to sort of do it all on their own. And that can be a very scary place to be. Photography in the current era, and I say that because I've been around photography long enough in the business side of things to remember when, you know, digital photo editing was sort of a, you know, a dark art that only technicians did, you know, far away in other lands. But you know what? Now a lot of photographers spend an unbelievable amount of time editing and processing photographs. Mm-hmm. And that kind of time, that kind of screen time, that kind of like in your pajamas in the dark closet or in the basement of your house or at your dining table, and just sort of that, you know, that cone of silence that exists in that type of work effort, you can very quickly forget about the people that you're trying to serve. You can, your social professional networks can kind of thin out, and you start to lose touch with people. You know, there's a lot of negatives that come from spending so much time by yourself in front of a computer. So finding ways to, like, you know, shake off the dust that can settle on you when doing all that editing, and find ways to be outside, finding ways to be at activities or events or in places and spaces where there's other humans. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, for a photographer as a service provider is solving someone's problem. And it might not be addressed like that, but ultimately you're meeting the needs of someone. And the best way to sell photographic work is to be aware of the needs and wants of people around you and say, I can help with that. Mm-hmm. Versus feeling like you're trying to push market, like, hire me, like me, click this, do this, you know, here I am, I'm available, you know, everyone should hire me. So when it comes to the best way to, there's two ways I think the photographer can get unstuck. First of all, they've got to find some accountability, some other human that they can tell their hopes, dreams, wishes, goals to, and say, in like a week, can you ask me about these things? You know, in a month, can you check in with me? Find some way to have a little bit of accountability, whether it's someone in their personal life or professional life, a peer is great. And just kind of say, like, hey, I'll harass you if you harass me. I think that's one of the best things that a photography club or membership or association can offer, and say, hey, we're all in this together. Why don't we all kick the crap out of each other and let's hold our hold everyone accountable to what they're going to do. Don't organize it, but let it be personal. So I think some accountability is required. And I don't know any successful entrepreneur that hasn't had some level of external accountability in their efforts. It just seems normal. And photographers tend to forget that. The second thing is some discipline, whether you can find the gumption to figure it out yourself, or you put tools in place, apps in place, or a schedule in place, something to apply some discipline. Because if you just go with your whim, your gut, and you sort of let that artist sensibility kind of take over all the time, then you won't get anywhere.
It's true. That is so true. And I think as creatives, we tend to rely on our gut quite a bit, actually. I know for me, I call it that feeling in my tummy, you know, which it tells me when I'm on to something good creatively. But at the same time, it can work against me because I get that shiny object syndrome. And then I'm going in one direction, and then I'll change course and go in another direction. And then some, you know, things don't get done sometimes. So having discipline is huge. I do want to say, I think that it can be a process that can take time step by step. At least for me, I've had to make changes and adjustments over the course of, say, a couple years. And maybe I'm just a slow learner, but I have found that incorporating daily habits and weekly habits, say in the form of even goals, you know, goal setting for the week and for the month and for the quarter, that really helps keep me on course. So for those who are listening and you're wondering, oh, how am I going to get disciplined? You know, how do I go from no discipline to completely disciplined? Keep in mind, it's a process. You know, don't expect to turn yourself around 100%, you know, from day one. No, you have to take it step by step. And I believe you do have to also be gentle with yourself because we are, you know, learning and growing in that process. So yeah.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. I also think that when a photographer is looking at all of the things they can or should do, they're thinking they have to push them all up the hill at the same time. Mm-hmm. When in reality, that there's usually one or two things that are the top priority, you know, they're like imperative. Ultimately, you want to find ways to sort of forget or ignore the other stuff and just focus on the things that are the most important. In the work that we do, we have a kind of a two-stage system in order to help figure this out. So we have a, first of all, we give something a priority, a high priority, a medium, or a low priority, based on, so like we kind of know, you know, because you could work on everything, but you can't work on everything all at once and you can't do it well. Yeah. And ultimately there's only so much time and money to, you know, out there. So giving something a priority status is really helpful. And then I like, you know, bingo dots, you know, those pens where you can blotter, like in my head, I always think about if I were to have this idea, these ideas on a wall, what would I bingo dot? And what would I make? What would I make red? What would I make yellow? What would I make green? And mm-hmm. in my world, that's a traffic light system. So green means it's on track. Mm-hmm. Yellow means something, there's a little bit of an issue that we're kind of need to focus on. And red means like, holy crap, red light, it's all come to a grinding halt. So when a photographer has very little time to work on something, just think, okay, well, can I upgrade something from medium to high priority? Or can I change it from, I thought this was a green light, but it's actually a red light. I'm going to change that. Guess what? Just changing those statuses, you've just worked on your business. Mm-hmm. You haven't necessarily accomplished the end game, but you've made some decisions about, oh, I'm making a priority and I'm making something more important than other stuff. And that way, one good best practice when it comes to sort of the ongoing effort of working on your photography business is if you have only a moment right now, make the decision now of what you're going to do tomorrow. Hmm. So that when you get to tomorrow, you don't sit there going, oh, what do I do now, right? Mm-hmm. So ultimately, it kind of comes down to just chip away because it is a journey. It is a process. You're not going to get it all done and it's always going to be growing and changing anyway. So find ways to make a decision about what you're going to do tomorrow, at least if you can't get to it today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And would you say for those photographers who, let's say they've been running their business for, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years by the seat of their pants, which that's kind of the way I did it in the beginning. And let me tell you, it was kind of stressful, sleepless nights. Would you recommend that they go back then and start organizing their business as far as getting their business plan together and working on that?
Yeah, if it's just kind of floating out there, if you've got ideas, schemes, you know, goals, things that you know that you've established mentally, if they're not documented in one place, again, it doesn't have to be fancy. I would say, you know, make some notes about things that are in the hopper and write them down and move on. I think the challenge is that the business planning effort is usually sort of regarded as a really serious document. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be that way at all. It should be something that just makes you feel comforted. It should give you something that sort of feels like, okay, I'm focused. It's at least, again, written down in one place. But it means that it becomes more real when it's written down. I do believe that.
Hey photographers, I want to pause and take a quick second to tell you about the New York Institute of Photography at nyip.edu. It's an online school for students who want to learn photography from the comfort of their own home on their own time. Not only is the New York Institute of Photography the world's largest online photography school, but they've been in business for over 100 years. Yes, you heard that right. 100 years. Originally established in 1910, they got their start as a brick-and-mortar school. Fast forward to today, and the New York Institute of Photography is now an online school where you can study anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Every student gets a personal pro photographer mentor who will review your photos and help you improve. You can choose from 9 online courses based on your skill level and area of interest. They have courses on digital photography fundamentals, wedding photography, travel photography, photojournalism, marketing, and more. To view the free course catalog and daily specials, check out the New York Institute of Photography at www.nyip.edu. Again, that's www.nyip.edu. And I have to ask this next question because I know I'm going to get emails if I don't. What specifically should go into the business plan? You mentioned pricing. I would imagine a marketing plan as well, a calendar. Could you give us just super quick, just like bullet points of what people should, you know, include in their business plan?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel like a vision statement of some kind that sort of outlines, you know, why you're doing this and what you kind of want, what you want to see in the future. You know, mm-hmm. if you could paint a picture or take a photograph of your future, paint a picture, make it a claymation, color it, Play-Doh. Anyway, if you could sort of say, here's what I kind of want, where I want this photography effort to go, you know, document that. Because when someone says to me, you know, or I'll ask them, you know, tell me, why did you start your photography business? And they'll say, well, I just like taking pictures and I want to take more pictures. Well, that's not very inspiring and it's not going to get you through the tough times. And it's not really the best justification for starting a business because, well, as we all know, the more professional, quote unquote, you have as a photographer, probably the less time you're going to spend making photographs in your day to day. So I think a good, clear vision statement doesn't have to be fancy. It's not a tagline. It's not going to go under your logo. You don't put it on your website. It's just it's you answering the question, why am I doing this? Why is making photographs so important to me? And why do I want to share my talent with the world? And why am I willing to ask for money? Mm-hmm. So establishing that. I think the second thing is giving yourself a little bit of a putting the heat on instead of saying, I need to write a bio. This is the public side of it. I need to write something about me, something about my business, something that helps a viewer, a prospect, get to know me a little bit better, have an opportunity maybe to trust me or have some affinity with me, and then how it is that I'm going to help them. Or, you know, like what value do I have in the marketplace? Most photographers have two things: horrible bios and even worse headshots. Photographers are, they have the worst. If a real estate agent, if we were to compare the real estate market against photography market, the real estate agents have better photographs of themselves. Maybe you think it's because maybe they hire the photographers? Not necessarily. So a good bio and a good headshot can be a nice little starting point because you can kind of go, okay, this is me and this is what I'm about. Buyers are looking for that. Buyers mm-hmm. need that. Buyers are buying from you, a human, and they need that connection. Beyond that, I'm trying to walk you through the elements. Now I got a little distracted. You have to have some goal planning. I think, mm-hmm. you know, dream big, but plan small. So I'm a fan of the 1, 3, and 6 month plan, goals. Mm-hmm. Sorry. 1, 3, and 6 month goals. Anything else is pie in the sky, kittens, rainbows. I don't care. Your 1 month goal should consume every waking moment. You should not be binging on Netflix. It should just be like, I'm come hell or high water, I'm getting this done in the next 30 days. Mm-hmm. Your secondary goal is something you're going to get done in the next 3 months, and it's sort of, it's a bigger of a goal, or it needs more time, or it's just not as important as your primary goal. And then your third goal, I would call it your tertiary goal, which makes me sound really smart to use such a fancy word.
It does.
Tertiary goal, your 6 month goal, is just, again, it's even bigger or it's not as important or it's grander or there's other factors. If you were driving home those three goals on an ongoing basis, and obviously there's some buffer time in there, as you could tell from my, you know, 1, 3, and 6, it means that you're going to have your head screwed on straight. You can still be an artist with that. You can still be a human. You can still have your part-time job or your day job or your other work for, do other crap photography just to pay the bills job or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you have to have some goal planning. The next thing is basic SWOT analysis. A really simple, identify your primary strength, because most of your business will come as a result of that strength. You can have a laundry list if you want, but one thing, what's that one thing that you're the absolute best at, or your business is the absolute best at serving your ideal client? Mm-hmm. Your weakness, what's the one thing that could cause a problem? Like, what's what's holding you back, or what's creating a barrier for you in the marketplace. Identify what that one thing is so you can find ways to get around it or steer away from it. And then your external opportunity, that's usually a relationship. Who in your world can you tap on? Who can you ask a favor for? Who can you ask for an introduction or a meeting of, or ask their opinion, or what have you? And then the threat is there something external that, you know, could negatively affect your business, whether that's a if that's something in your community or that's something in the industry that you serve. Of course, it could also just be the general economy, like in 2008, when suddenly everyone became extremely poor.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know, like everyone got affected by that. Though the photographers who had diversified income streams were affected less, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So doing that SWOT analysis makes sense. And then I would move into basic identity stuff, some of that branding, some of that unique value proposition stuff where you can sort of say, here's my it factor. Here's what makes me look, smell, and taste different than those that also do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I communicate trust through things other than my photographs? You know, do I have a logo or type treatment for my business name? What's the visual collateral look like when I write about myself or my bio or my proposals or my, you know, blog post? You know, what's my style? What's my approach? What colors, if I'm choosing colors for my collateral, is it, if I'm choosing orange, is it the same orange? You know, I came across a photographer's website who had 9 iterations of orange.
Oh my goodness.
I'm glad they left orange. I'm like, have you ever heard of a hex code or RGB? Like, pick a number and go with that. Like, anyway, so just identifying some of that identity stuff is really helpful. And then, of course, curating one's work so that in a snapshot, a viewer can get a sense of the visual talent, because that's the product, right? The visual results.
Mm-hmm.
How does a portfolio communicate that trust? A lot of photographers kind of put up their, I call it like clown vomit, where they just, it's just all a bunch of, a collection of really pretty photographs that don't connect to one another at all.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of a tight collection or curated portfolio based on a theme or an aesthetic. Let viewers look at that. That will speak volumes to your work. And then obviously it kind of comes down to doing your research on your ideal client and unpacking who your buyers are and what their needs are. And then ultimately marketing kind of comes down to, you know, what are the ways that you feel you can communicate your unique value? How can you spread the word about what you're doing in such a way that, honestly, it's about making people curious.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think authentic demand comes from making people curious, not push marketing. So finding ways to elicit that. I think a good marketing plan always includes a referral strategy.
Mm.
You know, how do you ask for referrals? How do you inspire the people that you work for to kind of say, you know what, you're great, I'm going to tell people about you. There's a really great book, by the way, by John Jantz called The Referral Engine. And it's not written for photographers, but it's highly transferable. So The Referral Engine is a great book for, I think it's like $3 on Amazon or something like that. It's really, really solid. Ultimately, and I'm kind of not doing this in any particular order. It could be, order doesn't matter. When it comes to a business plan, you work on the things in your business that you're excited or capable of working on. You save the crap for the end, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. This is all gold, really. I mean, just the points that you're giving.
So my last couple are, whether you publicly promote it or whether it's in a document or it's just in your head, though that might be a scary place to leave it, you have to define your package or your offerings. You have to, someone's giving you money. What do they get?
Mm-hmm.
They get more than an image file. They get more than a print. They're getting your talent, your expertise, your creative vision. They're getting your time. They're getting your physical presence in locations. They get a lot of stuff. So being able to identify what that package or offering looks like is really helpful. And then, of course, assigning a price that you're comfortable with. And when it comes to pricing, I'm a big fan of photographers sticking with pricing that they can say without flinching, mm-hmm. and then they can say without negotiating off of. I call it a base price. Like, can you say a number? And when someone says, I don't have that, you can say, that's too bad. Most photographers find ways to, oh, well, we could do this, we could do that, or I could just be cheaper. Would mm-hmm. you like it if it's cheaper? That's not a healthy way to run a business. So establish a pricing approach that is comfortable for you. And then when it comes to your marketing efforts, just make sure you're marketing in ways that you're comfortable with. If someone says to me, I really want to start blogging, I kind of want to say, if you're not already blogging, mm-hmm. then starting a blog is probably one of the hardest things in the universe.
Yeah.
And starting a blog and getting traction with it is nearly impossible. So, you know, I'd say don't put that pressure on yourself right now. Like, maybe blog on the side and so be it, but, you know, don't make that a big, you're not missing out, because it's actually a business model all on its own in a lot of ways. So, yeah. You know, focus on the things that you love. If you really want to get involved in Instagram and you're not already, then okay, well, you know, go for it. But just know that, you know, if you're kind of struggling to get into something, then it might not be the best way for you to engage your ideal clients. So a bit of a marketing strategy, you know, there's tools out there, and I can always, you know, recommend them. I'm sure you can too. Just finding ways where there's a little bit of a calendar, a little bit of a cheat sheet, just write down the ways that you want to share your creative work, the ways that you want to inspire people to look into it and to look at what you do, and to do those things consistently. That's what marketing is, right? Mm-hmm. It's just presenting you and your talent as an alternative.
You know, Corin,
one last thing.
Go right ahead, please. Go right ahead.
You asked for a list, and my brain is exploding.
This is awesome.
One thing that a lot of photographers forget is they forget about the money stuff, sort of the operational, whether it's cash flow or budgeting.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. If your life, financial life, is a box of like a receipts in a shoebox, then there might be an opportunity to get a little bit more organized in that way. And photographers stress about money probably more than any freelancer I know. Funny enough, though, they're the ones also using their credit cards to buy lenses that they don't need it for. But, you know, getting your money, getting your house in order financially can remove stress. You can actually be a lot more creative when you're not stressed about the money. So even if you're broke, at least know how broke you are. It's the mystery of, you know, will my debit card work when I'm taking a client out for coffee? You know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, crazy. Okay, I'm done now.
I feel like every single point that you gave there could be its own podcast episode. I mean, this is huge. That was excellent. Thank you for that answer. And I'm so glad that you mentioned pricing as well, because that's something that a lot of photographers really, you know, struggle with, and having that money conversation, and especially when they're first starting out and they're not sure how to price themselves. And so, you know, I've seen plenty of people, and I've done this in the beginning, where you just kind of say, oh, I'll charge this because that's what this other person is charging, or, you know, that's what this other business in the area is charging, so that's what I should charge. I mean, we don't know if they're profitable or not, you know, they could be going in the hole, but just kind of looking at what other people do and then not putting much thought into our own business expenses and how much our equipment costs and insurance, that can be a big mistake, not thinking about your own business.
I get asked all the time, you know, Corbin, what should I charge? And I have an answer. Actually, I say the same answer every time, no matter who asks me. I would say $500. And I say it with a glint, you know, a twinkle on my eye. Because, of course, there's no number. There's no magic number that anyone outside of them can just come up with. However, as you get to know your audience, as you get to know who your ideal clients are and what sort of the demand is for your services, and you can start thinking about numbers that you can say confidently, picking a number that you're not willing to work below is a good starting point. A baseline price is a really healthy way to approach it, because ultimately you do need to say no. And if you get pushed off a base price, then it had better be to your extreme advantage to take the work, right? Mm-hmm. So, pricing is one of those things that a lot of people are paralyzed by. I'd say if you can say a number confidently and sell that 10 times, then you have a great justification for growing your pricing or for doing it more elaborately. But, you know, pricing should not be one of those things that gets in the way of you doing what you're doing. Your buyers are not as crazy about pricing as photographers think they are. Hmm. The illusion is that they're comparing pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the majority of ideal clients, for someone that's done their homework, that price fluctuations between one vendor and another are a lot less valuable, a lot less important than, you know, that it factor, than that this person totally fits with what we're doing or what we need. I like them. I think they're great. I trust them. Man, you can't attach, you know, $50 or $80 or $500 differences to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for the photographers who are just starting out, and let's say they've been doing shoots for free, how do they determine their base price? Like, what factors go into that?
Yeah, again, if if they've been shooting for free, they're going to have to ignore every client experience they've had because it's totally irrelevant to this process of setting a price. Ultimately, they're going to have to pick a number that has some industry norm to it. So that's what peers are for, right? You might not be able to ask someone, you know, down the street who also shoots families and you want to photograph families. That might not be as easy to ask, especially if you're not friends. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's okay to ask, you know, people in other cities or in other niches, hey, can you give me a sense of your price range? That's a healthier, more respectful way to ask someone about their pricing if you want to know. Or sort of say, can you give me a sense of, hey, when you first started out, what range of pricing did you have? That's a good, fair way to approach it. And then ultimately, you know, you need to see if you've picked a number, are people giving you that number? If you have pricing that no one pays you, then your number's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you might have marketing problems or other, you might not be talented, but of course, there might be other issues. But, you know, you want to sell numbers that you can stand behind. So, and when it comes to setting a price, I think annual pricing, there's no business, I think, that should have static pricing for years on end. Annual pricing means that you're, next year you're able to grow at minimum by inflation, like 2 or 3%. Mm-hmm. But of course, a growth based on your talent, your expertise, your rapport, your clientele, your availability, you should be increasing pricing every year by 5 to 25%, you know, based on your comfort level. So that pricing should always be growing.
That's a great point about increasing it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so let's say a photographer has gone through this process of putting together their business plan and they're ready to get started. How do they, after they've identified their ideal clients, how do they attract better clients?
If it's business, if it's a business niche, like an industry or a sector or something along those lines, there's organizations or companies involved as buyers, then you have to get entrenched in that industry. You have to engage in the conversations that your buyers are having. You have to read the books that your buyers are reading. You have to attend events, conferences. You know, you need to be involved. When I met a photographer that really wanted to, he was sort of starting to shoot fashion. And he says to me, I want to shoot for Vogue in the next like 3 years or year, whatever it was, year. And I'm like, wow, that's really lofty. Instead of mocking him outright, I said, well, tell me, like, which local fashion designers do you follow? Which bloggers in the fashion industry do you like? Which red carpet events or fashion events have you been to? Which magazines do you read? Which brands do you wear that you feel connect with your personality or your flair or your style? I just hit him over and over. And his answer was nil to all of those. I'm like, well, you cannot serve an industry that you don't understand. You cannot serve an industry that you're not a part of. So when someone says they want to shoot for NGOs, I'm like, great. Which organizations do you volunteer for? Mm-hmm. Which charities do you donate to? Who have you donated time or energy or been involved with? Which causes do you care about? Legitimately, do you have a reason to care about those organizations? So there's definitely, you know, that's the kind of research that is that's the starting point of being more attractive, because ultimately your attraction as a vendor is, do they like you? Do they trust you? Do they think you're talented? Do you meet the needs that they have? And all those come through conversations.
You cannot serve an industry that you don't understand. What a quotable moment. Absolutely.
Hashtag.
Yes, that could go on a t-shirt. Really.
That's a long hashtag.
Really. You know, but it's so true. And Jeffrey Shaw, I've had him on the show. He's a coach and a coach to creatives and photographer himself.
I was on his podcast.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
That's great.
Yes.
Great.
I listen to his podcast weekly. It's good stuff. And he has such a strong sense of needing to have empathy, of being able to understand your audience inside and out. And I love that he chooses the word empathy to describe that. You know, it's like you said, if you're going to, you know, be serving an industry and taking money from it, you better understand what they care about and where they like to hang out and what they spend their money on and what their needs are. Absolutely. Next, and this will be, I feel like I could ask you probably another 10 questions, but then this would be a 10-hour long podcast episode, which I would like, but I'm not sure about the listeners out there who have lives. So
that's a bad download.
No. Yeah, that'll be huge. So could you tell us quickly, what is the most common mistake you see professional photographers make, in your opinion, as far as business is concerned?
Yeah, that's a great question. And either the simple answer from my perspective is that a photographer, they wait. You know, they think that the business will come to them. They think that because they have a big camera, because they have some creative talent or a vision or a pretty website, that the business will come to them. And they just kind of sit and stew in their juices, and they stare at their laptop a little longer, and they sit on their hands a little longer. And they feel like the world owes them something because of the time and money that they've spent. So I think the biggest mistake is just that, just kind of this wait for something to happen, when in fact, every good entrepreneur out there, every successful business owner or operator, even freelancer or artist of notable repute, has gone out and went, they went and got it. They went and chased it down. And I don't mean that from a predatorial sales standpoint. I just mean you got to be engaged, and you got to be out there growing relationships, serving people, helping people, finding out the needs and wants of others, and just and making yourself available. And for those that are, like, back to the issue of being stuck, if you want to pursue doing free work for a person or organization or industry that that makes sense, and you can leverage that as a marketing opportunity, then I'm all game. Not for a business, but for a charity or for, you know, a friend or a collaborator. Go out there and make work that you're proud of, and use that as marketing support. If it's based on, if it's free work sucks, when someone asks you to work for free, the answer should be no. If it's your idea and you say, I would like to offer this because I like what you're doing, I like you, or I'm committed to this cause or whatever, and then you can spin that and find ways to use that to share, I think that's great. So don't just sit there and wait for the world to come to you, because people are buying cameras and loading up Instagram accounts and doing all this stuff, you know, around you. It's not going to happen. You have to go get it.
Exactly. Exactly. Awesome. Awesome. Well, could you tell us, is there a particular photography resource, online course, tool, book, whatever, that you would recommend to our listeners today to help with their businesses?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm a really big fan of the free guides that Photo Shelter puts out. I like them because there's usually a few different voices in there, and there's sort of a high level snapshot, and they don't cost you anything to download other than coughing up your email address. So I love those free guides that Photo Shelter does. When it comes to sort of the nitty gritties, I'm really excited about what Sprout Studio is doing with their new software. I feel like they're hungry. Like Brian and his team, they want to help photographers really bad. You know, I think there are a lot of other services that are kind of mailing it in. And Sprout Studio is just, they're kicking it. I love what Brian and his team are doing. So definitely check out Sprout Studio. Obviously, they have a killer podcast and such, but their new studio software really takes the chaos and mystery out of running a small photography business.
Awesome. Awesome. And now next, let's talk about a current project that you're involved in. And I'm really excited about this coming up. It's called the 5-Day Deal event. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. So 5-Day Deal is doing a photography business bundle coming up at the end of February, and it's just a killer package of ebooks and tutorials and worksheets and resources that kind of give a photographer, whether they're starting or are looking to grow their photography business, a whole bunch of stuff to kind of help them through the planning, the organizing, the marketing, the pricing, and kind of get their business game on. And this package is, it's huge. It's worth a fortune. It's getting discounted like severely. It's a really, really exciting bundle. And I think that photographers, no matter where they're at, whether they're making a little bit of money or a lot, or they're not making anything and they want to make something, it's a really good package of resources to help a photographer, no matter where they're at, with the whole idea of putting their business out in the world.
Yeah. And when you say a huge discount, I mean, yeah, really, it's huge, the discount. It's an amazing deal that listeners can get, that photographers who want to improve their businesses can get on this deal. And also there's a charity component to it. Could you tell us a bit about that as well?
Yeah, so a five-day deal does a bunch of stuff, and all the money that comes in, 10% goes to charities. So they're working with four charities in 2016, and they make, you know, contributions to these charities, like significant contributions to these charities, to kind of help, you know, those that are working with kids and families and people in third worlds third worlds. How many worlds are there? just make stuff up now. So, you know, it's really about, that's funny, the charity part is actually one of the things that, as the five-day campaign event goes, February 25 to March 1, throughout the 5 days, you know, the conversation amongst the photography community does ramp up around, what are we doing for charity with this? Like, it's really cool. So photographers get pretty excited to sort of see, you know, all the ways that the five-day deal photography community gives back. So it's really remarkable.
And if I'm not mistaken, last year, 2015, didn't they raise six figures for charity?
Yeah, something crazy.
It's wild.
Over $200,000 got raised for charity. This is not a small thing. Like, people should have five-day deal on their radar all the time. It's a really, really great opportunity.
Absolutely. And what's that website?
5daydeal.com.
Excellent. February 25th through March 1st. So those listeners who are listening to this within that time frame, definitely check it out, because as Corwin mentioned, it does close March 1st. So
that's excellent. Right.
Yeah. And my final question, but definitely one of the most important, tell us where we can find you online, Corwin.
Oh, I'm everywhere. Just stare at your computer and I'll pop up.
No, excellent.
You know, the best place to track me down and to learn more about how I can help or how we can help with your photography career is go to businessactionplanner.com. And we've got tools. We've got a free mini magazine called Memo to Freelancers. And businessactionplanner.com is where we do most of our stuff online.
Excellent. Well, just thank you so much, Corwin, for chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, it was really, really great to connect.